Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Line of Scrimmage podcast presented by Tomahawk Nation. Over the next 15 or so minutes, we will be chatting up with a member of the media from FSU's next opponent. My name is Tim Allenball, and FSU now sits 4-0 after a win against Boston College in front of a sold-out Doak Campbell Stadium. Up next, the Seminoles will host their toughest opponent to date, the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. And to help our listeners get to know Wake Forest a little bit better, we have Cam Lemons from Demon Deacons Digest. Cam, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today, Tim?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for jumping on. Recording this on a Thursday night, not long after probably work ended. So I appreciate you taking some time out for us.
No, happy to be here. I'm always in love talking to FSU guys. You guys are one of the best, one of the best editorial bases around the country. And I really enjoy talking to you guys.
Well, thank you for that. I will, I will be avoiding all Dave Clawson
/FSU fan
type questions. So if you tuned into the podcast for that, you can go ahead and tune out. So Cam, Florida State has been battling a couple of health issues on their side. So that's where I kind of want to start with the Demon Deacons. Wake Forest is coming off of a heartbreaking double overtime loss against Clemson. And against the Tigers, Wake was without starting corner Kalen Carson, and I think we saw a couple other secondary players especially kind of limp off the field and come back on and off a couple times. I guess, how's the health of the Demon Deacons team? Are there any significant injuries on either side of the ball that fans need to be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, so I'll start on the offensive side since it's pretty quick and easy. They sound like they're pretty healthy offensively. I know there's a third string running back, Quinn Cooley, and, you know, the third string running back, oh, what are you going to do here? Wake likes to run really a three-headed monster. And if he limped off of the Liberty game, you know, we'll see if he's back. But other than that, they should be good. Defense, I'm a little bit optimistic. I mean, Kobe Davis suffered a season-ending injury against Vandy, so he won't be back. But, Brendan Harris, who was a starting safety for the first three games, he didn't play last week. He's on the depth chart. I don't know if he'll actually play, but I expect him to see him sooner rather than later. Maybe it's this week, maybe it's not next. But they were also down a linebacker in Quincy Bryant. They kind of forced him to play their buck linebacker, Chase Jones, like I think 90% of the snaps. That sounds like Quincy Bryant will be back today, be back on Saturday. Kalen, I think it's going to be a game time decision. I heard he was close last week, even though he got ruled out about an hour before the game, but I heard he was close when, he just kind of woke up and couldn't go. I think, this week they're going to, he'll travel, I'm pretty sure. I think they're going to see what he can do in warmups and we'll go from there. And then you mentioned people kind of limping off. Malik Mustafa, who's kind of been really a really big guy for them, has got three sacks and four scum of fumbles. He actually separated his shoulder on Saturday. Sounds like he's good to go though. I mean, they gave him a shot. He came right back in. And it sounds like he'll be raring to go on Saturday. So it's trending up at least right now, but so we'll see.
Sounds like Wake Forest likes to do those Florida State depth charts where they're just going to list everybody, even if they haven't played the last three games or not.
Dave Clawson has told us to our face last year, if he didn't have to put out a depth chart, he wouldn't. So
yeah, exactly. on the offensive side of the ball, Wake returns in one of the most experienced offensive lines in the ACC. Yet the running game, I feel like, has kind of been off mark the last two games. Do you kind of chalk that up to top tier defensive lines like the Clemson Tigers were, or kind of the game flow with Liberty, which really kind of turned into a little bit of a shootout? Or do you think there's actually problems with running the deep mesh this year?
I think against Liberty, it was a bit of just a perfect storm. Liberty actually had a really good game plan. They went up front and they kind of really disguised their looks to get guys in the backfield. But there was also guys just missing blocks, and the running backs, and Clawson talked about it after the game, running backs just trying to do too much in the backfield. You'd see, like on the rewatch, we'd see a wide open hole and the guys would kind of be scampering around, be like, that's only a 2-3 yard gain. It's like, no, we need that. Not a -2, -3 yard gain. With Clemson, I mean, it was just Clemson was aiming for Sam Hartman to beat them. They pretty much said, we're going to put everyone in the box. We're going to blitz. You're not going to be able to run the ball. See if you can win one-on-one balls. And, you know, Sam did that. And, you know, come to the second half, actually, when they started backing off, running a bit more cover two, Wake actually had a little bit more, like really a lot more success. They were actually running it 3-4 yards a clip in that second half. So it was really, so, you know, part of it is game script. Part of it is guys, but it's just kind of a perfect storm. But I mean, when we saw people were actually giving them the green light to run, they actually could.
Yeah, I did notice in the second half against Clemson, especially in the fourth quarter, it really looked like Wake was marching down the field a whole lot more with that running game.
Right.
But, you know, that was after Clemson decided to give up 25 pass interference calls, which was insane. I mean, let's kind of talk about that. Sam Hart and this receiving core, in my opinion, is probably the best in the conference. A.T. Perry leads the team in total yards, but Wake Forest has had a different leading receiver in each of its first four games. I mean, what can FSU expect from Sam Hartman other than what we already know, just with how he's so pinpoint with his accuracy and these receivers on Saturday? I guess just let's talk about this receiving core that they need to know outside of A.T. Perry.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, if you check the weather on Sunday or Monday, which I'm sure everyone in Florida was, like, I was worried that this was going to be just a run game. I was super worried that this was going to be a, you know, 60-degree, 25-mile-an-hour winds of rain. And now I'm like, oh, it looks like, what, 87, like, 5-mile-an-hour winds. And I'm like, oh, cool, fine. You know, I mean, we saw really the breakout game for a guy like Jamal Banks last week. You know, Jamal Banks, it's his third year in the program, and Dave Clawson was really during camp and the beginning of the season trying to tell us, like, you know, we have three starting wide receivers, and it's A.T. Perry, Donovan Green, I'll get to in a second, and Jamal Banks. And, you know, Banks, when we saw him in camp, was, you know, kind of doing his own thing. He's always been a guy that's been more of a flashier reception guy. And then, you know, you have last week where he just catches everything his way. So, I mean, it's really exciting to see that. I mentioned Donovan Green, who had a quiet game of 2 catches for 53 yards and 2 touchdowns. I don't really know how to spell it's a quiet game at this point, but that's kind of it for him. So, I mean, on the outside, they have those three guys that can really beat you. And then where I think the game's going to be kind of won this week is going to be guys like Keyshawn Williams and Taylor Moran in the slot. I think FSU looks like they run a lot of cover two man, a lot of cover four, and they don't like to get beat deep. And I think, you know, what's going to be the way to not get beat deep is by using your slot guys like a Keyshawn, like a Taylor Moran, that can just funnel just shots like an intermediate and underneath and be pretty good there.
Do you feel Sam Hartman is playing better this year? I know he missed, you know, the beginning of the season, but overall compared to last year, I guess, you know, I like to think of Sam Hartman being there forever, but I can't really make that joke anymore because Jordan Travis, I think, is going to be at Florida State forever, which is fine with me. But do you feel like Hartman is playing better this year or about the same?
I mean, right now I have to say better. I mean, the biggest knock against Sam Hartman was how he performed in big games, for myself included. It was how he performed against Clemson the past couple of years, how he performed in the second half against Pitt last year in the AC Championship game, how he performed against Wisconsin 2 years ago in the Mayo Bowl. You know, this was the first time that we've seen him go out there and just absolutely just do that against a not, I don't want to call it, like, I mean, you had the Army game last year, but the biggest thing about the Army game was it was very apparent Wake was just better on the field than Army. But now you have it against a defense that is still one of the better ones in the nation, and he went out there and just threw 6 touchdowns. I think there's no question you can say, like, he's playing, at least for last week, and he's been playing at just a higher level than he ever has.
I think from an outsider view, I think the defense is where Wake is struggling this year, at least, you know, looking at the box scores and watching the highlights. They're allowing 30 points a game. And in the last two games have just been, you know, shootouts, whoever has the ball last type affair. I mean, how would you describe the game plan the defense has, you know, instituted so far? And who are some names that fans need to be aware of from Wake Forest on the defensive side?
I mean, it's felt like every week they're playing a mobile quarterback. Like Vandy, they had a guy who literally just did nothing but run. Liberty has Kadon Salter, who did nothing but run and
right
on the run. Last week it was DJ, who uses his legs a bit more than people would like to realize. And then obviously this week, Jordan Travis. So, I mean, it's having to play a lot of contain. They like playing a lot of cover four. They, you know, I think the big thing, and I think it sticks out, was like against Liberty, both injuries and missed tackles just kind of caught up to them like a lot. I mean, against Liberty, they were down what? They were down Brendan Harris, Kalen Carson, JJ Roberts went down to another corner, went down. And then they went down another linebacker as well. Like they were just bleeding at that position. But I mean, you know, they're a hyper aggressive type of team. They're a team that up front with guys like Kobe Turner, who's the number one graded defensive tackle on PFF. I mean, the guy's just been a monster when they got him from Richmond. Rondell Bothell right up front as well. So I mean, those are two guys up front that are really going to be, you know, they're going to try to get after Jordan Travis and try to get off of the backs and see what they can do there. I mean, on the second level and from beyond, I mean, it's going to come down to, can a guy like Malik Mustafa, now that he's healthy, can he step up in the run game and, you know, and stop a guy like Trey Benson from getting a guy like Trayshon Ward. Same thing with a guy like Ryan Spinda. I mean, he's your Mike linebacker. He's a fifth year senior as well. This has got to be a guy that is making tackles, that is leading your defense and making sure these guys are, everyone's in check. And the one thing I will say, it felt like they haven't had as many coverage busts as last year. Last year, I feel like Wake's defense was so bad because it was just guys were just wide open left and right, left and right, left and right. And this year, it's felt like if that, something has happened outside of the Liberty game, it's been someone just made a play. And it's just like, you know, kudos, good job, figure it out. You know, while it still sucks to give up 30, 35 points a game, you know, I can at least live with that if you're just getting beat on 50-50 balls and, you know, guys are just making plays, whatever. I think you can fix that. You can't fix guys that are just busting coverages left and right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this game goes, because like you said, they've played nothing but mobile quarterbacks, and I feel like up until last week, Florida State was very much in the same boat, at least against LSU and Louisville, and
right,
you know, they finally got to, I guess, take a breath against Phil up there in Boston College. I know Hartman can run some, but I feel like, again, I would much rather face a quarterback that's not as much of a threat there. So that really is hard for a defense to game plan when the quarterback is elusive. Now, I will say Travis has not ran as much this year,
right,
as he has in the past, but I think he's made up for it in some of his passing. So in my opinion, I think Wake Forest is underrated. I think for the last few years, they've kind of been underappreciated just because they're Wake Forest, for lack of better words, but I think they're a top 20 team. The tough loss against Clemson, I think on Saturday, a victory for either team really wouldn't shock me.
Right.
What's your confidence level for this game? Do you think it's going to be another shootout? Do you think there's something about Florida State that you've seen that gives them an upper hand? Or do you think this is another win for the Demon Deacons?
I mean, I don't want to be a homer. I try my best. I mean, last week I picked Clemson. I was like, you know, I think Clemson wins here. I think the biggest thing of why I probably will go Wake in this game will just be health. And I think it'll obviously depend on, you know, what we hear pregame, but like I mentioned at the top of it, I think Wake is healthier going into this. And, you know, like looking at Florida State last week, I mean, they look like what Robert Scott didn't play. You're already down Caden Miles, and you're already down Bless Harris in the offensive line. You know, one of the biggest things, why Wake won last year was because they were able to get to the quarterback, whether it was Milton or Jordan Travis. You know, what does it look like when you're not playing against Boston College? Like, I know it's hard to evaluate FSU from, you know, game one or game zero or game one or even game two because of personnel there versus what happened last week. And even on the reverse, I think that one of the biggest ways to stop the mesh point, stop what Wake does on offense, is to get as much pressure as you can with four or five bodies. Clemson learned the hard way of what happens when you just considerably blitz and don't get home. You have to be able to win with four or five bodies. You know, I don't know if Fabian Lovett's playing. We don't know if Jared Verse is playing. You know, if they're not able to play, then, you know, it's a really hard task to ask a defense. You know, I think Peyton played a really like phenomenal game last week against BC. And then there's all the obvious caveat of, you know, how much of that was him taking that next step and how much of that was him going up against some guys that, I mean, may not have been ready to be out there. And right. So, you know, and something's like, you don't never want to denigrate a guy and you're like, oh no, this guy is just terrible and just bad competition. But I think it is a fair question. I mean, and that's kind of why for me, I'm like, I at least know more of what Wake is right now, given the Clemson game. I have no idea what's going on for this. I think they're an above average team. But given the health of the team, I have no idea what's going on there. And I think that makes me a little bit lower on them, just having that bit of an unknown.
Yeah, I understand that. That the defensive line of Florida State is probably my biggest concern as well. At this time, my assumption, based off everything I heard, again, this is my assumption, nothing we've seen or reported. Right. I don't think Lovett plays, and I'm not really confident that Verse plays as well.
Yeah.
So, and you know, talking to some of the guys at Tomahawk and other places, exactly what you said. If you can't stop that mesh point run with your front four, then that really gives them, that really starts to open up the passing game because you have to load the box more, yeah, other things like that. So I kind of agree with you on that. I think it could be a toss-up game, but it wouldn't shock me at all if in the fourth quarter, you know, is able to make some stops and pulls ahead, you know, by 10 points or something like that. But, you know, we'll hope that Florida can keep running. Cam, I really appreciate you jumping on. I like to end the podcast with a choose your own adventure type question. So I will give you three categories. You tell me which category you want and we'll go from there. So category one is professional wrestling. Category two is TV or streaming. And then the last one is ACC mascots.
Okay. I'm nixing the streaming. I'm between the mascots and the wrestling.
Okay.
I'm gonna go wrestling. We'll go there. We'll go back. I haven't watched wrestling in a few years, but I definitely grew up on it. But
okay. In your opinion, based off the wrestling you've watched, what are the top three finishers from wrestlers?
Oh, I mean, the number one for me growing up, I was a big Jeff Hardy kid. I loved Jeff Hardy growing up. So Swanton Bomb was something my mother definitely hated me doing. It broke a couple things in the house, not myself. That was number one. I mean, obviously a stunner was big growing up. I think that was really, that did to my sister once. She was not really happy with me. And I mean, I'm a big power bomb through a table guy. And I think just the emphasis of like through a power bomb through something definitely was just the extra oomph being 9, 10 years old, being like, oh no, this is it.
The number of younger kids at church swimming activities that I power bombed into a swimming pool. I can't even tell you that those are great. I love that. And I do think in my mind, I think the stunner might be the all time best just because it's just become classic, for lack of better words.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And everybody knows what that is. But Cam, I really appreciate you jumping on. Take a minute, tell everybody where they can find you and read what you got out there.
Yeah. I mean, like start at the top of the show, Deep Deegan Digest on 24/7 Sports, as well as Bloggers OD or SB Nation. If you want my terrible tweets, I'm at @CamLemons_ on Twitter. Yeah.
Perfect. Cam, thanks so much, man. I started following you this week and I've already been chuckling at some of the tweets you got out there. So like you, I feel like, is it Saturday already? Can we move past some of this?
I'm so over it.
politicking. So Cam, thanks so much for jumping on, man. And hope the best for both teams on Saturday.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right. For the Line to Scrimmage podcast on Tomahawk Nation, thanks everybody for jumping on. Thanks to Cam Lemons. We will catch you guys next week.